The person of great concern, or person of concern for others. I'm not sure how I got this particular topic, because I don't care about any of you. That's not true. I do appreciate the prayers for class and certainly the prayers for recovery from surgery. Although I think that was a little bit self-serving on your guys' part. You just want to make sure I wore pants tonight. Dave said he'd appreciate it if I could go 3 weeks. So we're going to take this nice and slow. But if I asked you guys what a person of concern or person of concern for others looks like, you might say police officer. Got to say that Andrew cares for people, right? He cares for their safety. Maybe the firemen. Maybe nurses or doctors or any of the teachers in the room. You guys obviously care for your students. But what about the ideal Christian? What is a person of concern for others as a Christian? A person of concern, a person who considers the needs of others and takes an active interest in their feelings and needs and takes an active role in helping them. So a person who considers the needs of others and takes action in helping them. We can say we care about others, and we may, but taking an active role in helping them shows concern for others. Let's talk about the opposite of what concern for others would be. It would be selfishness. The opposite of concern for others is selfishness. There is no question that God does not want us, there's no question that God does want us to have concern for ourselves. He obviously wants us to be faithful to Him and not fall into temptation. He wants us to spend eternity with Him. However, He does want us to be concerned for others at the same time as ourselves. Matthew 22:39. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. What about Ephesians 5:28? In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Both passages show God wants us to have concern for others as well as ourselves. It also shows how we are to be concerned. How we are to be concerned for others. Concern for others should be the same as ourselves. It is very important to realize that there has to be concern for both. There has to be a balance. It is easy and natural for us to have concern for ourselves. What do we like? What do we want to do? Is this going to hurt me? We have concern for our own life. That's easy. But the concern for others can be more difficult at times. If we only have concern for ourselves, as we mentioned, we're selfish. It's all about me, number one. Selfishness can be described as indulgence, self-seeking, self-love, egotism, egocentric, self-centered, covetousness. This does not sound like good traits of an ideal Christian. An ideal Christian is, or should not be these things, but should have a balance of care for ourselves as well as others. So in this lesson, we'll look at a few different things and how to help us have concern for others. Self-control. We have to have self-control in our life. Galatians 5:23. Gentleness and self-control, against such things there is no law. Meekness, self-control. So we have to have self-control in our life. Then in Acts 24:25, as Paul talked about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come, and as he reasoned of righteousness and self-control, and there is judgment to come, Felix was terrified and answered, "Go thy way for this time, and when I have a covenant season, I will call thee unto me." 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 and 4. "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that is, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor." 1 Thessalonians 5, 22. "Abstain from every form of evil." What about Acts 15, 20? "But that we write to them that they abstain from things contained by idols and from fornication and from what is strangled and from blood." Acts 15:29, "That you abstain from things sacrificed to idols and from blood and from things strangled." Oh, I think I got my verses mixed up there. James 1:26. If anyone thinks himself to be religious, and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. So we see lots of verses about self-control and abstaining from certain things, that we need to have control over our own bodies. And sometimes self-control involves self-denial. Self-denial, which is denying ourselves of our own interest, either to help someone else instead, or maybe we can't afford it, or maybe it's a sin, maybe not morally right. We need to have self-control if we're going to have any self-denial. An ideal Christian should be in control of his life, show restraint, and bridle his actions. Self-denial we see taught in several scriptures. We'll start in Matthew 16:24-26. "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If any one of you wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.'" Also Galatians 5:24. "Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Galatians 2:20. "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me." Also, Titus 2:12, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. And then, lastly, we take Paul, for example, in Philippians 3:7-11, "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things and counted them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God, and on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection of the dead." So Paul was willing to suffer the loss of all things in order to gain Christ. The willingness to deny ourselves has to be there if we want to truly show concern for others. Next, let's look at a life of giving. Giving can... What? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so a lot of times when we think of that being self-control, the self-denial, it's that we see that word, you know, selfless. And if somebody says it's not thinking less of yourself, sometimes we browbeat ourselves so bad that we don't think we're capable of doing anything. It is just being, thinking of ourself less, and putting others first and foremost of that. And that's where, you know, so we see Paul sacrifice all those things. We know people today have read of those that will leave and go to a monastic society where they're all, you know, in a convent or something of that nature where they say they're giving their life to the Lord, and then they go lock themselves away. That's not really, as you said, showing concern for others if you go out and take yourself out of the world. Right. Jesus said we need to be a part of the world. And so by doing that, we just have to reconfigure our thinking so it's, as you showed in those verses, like Christ, you know, what he's done for us, what like how Paul gave his life in a life of service to others, but for Christ.
Right.
So that's that. That self-denial isn't staying away from everything. It's actually being involved in what we need to, and yet maintaining our Christian standard.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, we have to have relationships, which actually we'll look at a little bit later. Yeah, not being, like you said, not secluding yourself, you know, because then you're not helping anybody or not having any concern for anybody. But next, let's look at a life of giving. Giving can be a way to show unselfishness. By showing a giving attitude, we can show a concern for others. There's obviously lots of ways that we can give. Obviously, not only money, but in the case of showing concern for others, it's more about our time, especially with a spiritual matter, or you know, listening, just listening, praying with somebody, maybe our time in helping somebody fix a car. Whatever your talent might be, use that. Maybe it's you know, something else you may know about that can help somebody. Electrical, plumbing, any number of things. But giving of your time and talents, or maybe giving food or shelter, clothing, can also help others. Giving is part of being Christian stewards. God, you know, God owns everything. We do not. He allows us to have what we have and use it, and he wants us to use it correctly. We should be workers together with God. 1 Corinthians 3:9, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Giving is not a duty, or giving is a duty and a privilege. We shouldn't necessarily look at it I don't want to say we shouldn't be obligated, but shouldn't look at it as an obligation, like a have to. We should look at it as a privilege. 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper, so that no collections be made when I come. The giving of our time and talents and money to help others is a way of showing concern for others. But emphasis on time and talent in the case of showing concern for others. You know, a lot of people just need, or a lot of times people just need someone to listen to them. So just sitting and talking with somebody, have lunch with them, have dinner with them, that shows concern. And sometimes that is tough because maybe we don't have much in common with that person. That's okay. We're still Christians. We're still brothers and sisters. We're still people. We may be able to find something in common with that person. You know, we all do have close friends that we do have lots in common with and are easy to talk to. And they're easy to help when we have lots in common with them and we have that relationship. But what about others? Even those outside the church body. You know, showing concern for someone could open the door to reach them, to be able to teach them about Jesus. Sometimes we have to go out of our way to talk to people about something that we don't have interest in. That's okay. Creating that common ground. You know, I think of staff at work. A lot of my staff I don't have a lot in common with. Some I do. A lot of them are kids that work for me. Maybe 20 years ago I had more in common with them. But you know, they like video games. Try to talk to them about video games. They might like soccer. talking to them about football, that's easy. But even if I don't care about that latest video game, I still try to show concern I do care because they care. I guess that's maybe a good way to put it. But it creates that common ground, and we can talk. So that's okay to show interest in something you don't necessarily have interest in. Like I said, you have interest in it because they do. 2 Corinthians 8:8 kind of speaks to this. I'm not speaking this as a command, but as proving through the earnestness of others and sincerity of your love also. First Timothy 6:17. Charge them that are rich in the present world that they may be not high-minded nor have their hope set on uncertainty of riches, but on God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. It helps our So what are some reasons for giving? It helps put our trust in God, not money. 1 Timothy 6:7, we read that one. It shows concern for others, which we've already talked about. 2 Corinthians 8:1-5. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God, which hath been given in the church of Macedonia, how that in much proof of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality, for according to their power I bear witness, ye and beyond their power, they gave of their own accord, beseeching us with much entreaty in regard of this grace and the fellowship and ministering to the saints, and this not as we had hoped, but first they gave their own selves to the Lord and to us through the will of God. So we see there, especially in the last part, but they first gave their own selves to the Lord It shows investing in our future spiritually. Matthew 6:20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, whether neither moth nor rust doth consume, and where thieves do not break through or steal. So having concern for others, invest in our spiritual future. We all want to get to heaven. Hopefully we're all there. So we need to like each other here on earth too. If we can't put up with each other here, why are we going to want to there for eternity? How about this last one? Probably covers most of it, because we want to be like God. Philippians 2:5-8. Have this in mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, counted not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, death of the cross. So to kind of sum up giving, liberal and bountiful giving blesses the giver and the receiver. And let's be honest, it really shows where exactly our love and concern is. Is it focused on people or people? Or is it focused on ourselves? That might be a good place to stop. That's probably a good place to stop until next week. Next week we'll only do one page so that we can go 3 weeks. Thanks.